Let us pray. Lord, bless our meditation upon your word tonight to strengthen our souls and to help us face all the trials, the temptations, and the problems of this life without worry, but with hope and faith in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and as you're seated, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Maybe as you're turning there, I want to read that passage in a moment. But as you're turning there, my focus tonight in the message is on the problem of worry. And I want to answer three important questions. The first one is, why do we worry? And the second one, you may have never thought about this, but the question is, did Jesus ever worry? And then finally, how can we overcome this problem of worry that we all face sometime or another in our lives? Romans chapter 5, 1 to 11, Paul writes, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation." I will admit there are times in my life when I really worry. I worry about all sorts of things. I worry whether or not I'm doing the will of God as I should be in my life. I worry about my family a lot. I worry about the church. I worry about all of you. Sometimes I worry when I'm in a big crowd. This is, I know, kind of a weird thing to worry about, but I worry about how many of these people know God and believe in Jesus and what will happen to them in the end of their lives. And then sometimes my worries are silly. I worry about mine subsidence, and I worry about whether my sump pump's going to quit in the middle of a rainy night. And on go these kinds of worries of life. Sometimes very serious, sometimes silly, but worry is a bad thing, and it certainly can be a very destructive thing in our lives. We worry because God has created us with this capacity to think deeply about the future. And the problem is that we tend to focus only on the bad things that might lie ahead for us in our future, and not upon the good things. The psychological remedy to the problem of worry is to be reasonable and to conclude that those bad things that we so often worry about are probably not going to happen, and that we should focus rather on the good things. But I'm here to tell you tonight that for me, probably not going to happen isn't going to really relieve all of my worries. That's a statistic, and I'm a person, and you're people. And we don't want to live our lives simply by numbers and probabilities and possibilities. We need more than that. And the words that we just read from Romans chapter 5 are a tremendous answer to that problem of worry. We don't rely on probabilities, we rely on promises. We rely on God's goodness. that he has promised and that is there always in the future for those who believe. Now, the second question that I asked was, did Jesus ever worry? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, there's a really beautiful section there, and you might want to go back and read that. Jesus says, don't worry about your life. And a little bit later, he goes on to say, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Jesus never worried in that sense, in a sinful sense. But in other places in the Bible, we see how Jesus himself and the apostles had deep concerns. Paul says in one of his letters to the Corinthians that he has a deep concern for the churches. And the word that is underneath there in the original language is the same as the word for worry in the Sermon on the Mount. In Mark, as Jesus gets to the Garden of Gethsemane, St. Mark tells us that he was troubled and deeply distressed. So distressed, Luke tells us that he sweat drops of blood. Now, I wouldn't call that sinful worry, but there's something going on there, something that all of us can relate to, something that Jesus went through for us, facing trials and troubles and crushing problems that were lying ahead of him. But Jesus also, we know this, Jesus also concentrated on the good that he knew was coming. The cross was before him, but Jesus also remembered the good of the resurrection and the life that God had promised, not only to him, but to all who have believed in him. And it's always this focus on the good, and not just the probable good, not just the statistical good, but the guaranteed good, the good of God's promises. This is always the key to our battle against the problem of worry. So that brings me to the third question. How can we overcome this problem? And this one is going to take a little bit longer to explain. You know, people throw phrases around like this. It's all good. Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the song lyrics. Don't worry. Be happy. And in a sense, those words are good. They are kind of comforting to us, but only in a temporary way. There's really still no big guarantee behind any of those words. And sometimes they can actually be pretty empty. And that's why we turn to the Lord. And one of the first things we find out when we turn to the Lord is that we have to deal with the root cause of the problems that bring on worry. And so that's what Paul explains to the Romans in this fifth chapter and many other places in the Bible. And as we heard last Sunday in Pastor Adel's sermon from James, where James says, desire gives birth to sin, and sin brings forth death. We have problems in this world, either directly or indirectly, because of sin. And so, as we realistically face that reality, St. Paul also tells us that problem has been taken care of. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God dealt decisively with that thing that causes all the problems of this world. And that's what that word justification means. Justification is courtroom language. And justification is the divine judge saying, it is so ordered, case dismissed. The empty tomb of Easter morning is God's affirmation that the good that comes from him will always prevail over the bad that comes from us or comes from the world in which we live. And so Paul says, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We deal with this by looking at the root cause of it and then looking to the powerful promises of ultimate good that God has given to us in His Word. But let me take it now and apply that in a little bit more of a practical way. How does that really relate to the person who's just been told they've lost their job, or the doctor has told them that they've been diagnosed with cancer? I think of tackling the worries that those problems bring into our lives in these three ways. Just applying what I just told you and what Paul told us from Romans chapter 5. The first thing I do as these worries start to ramp up and my stomach begins to churn and I have trouble sleeping at night and I become irritable and I'm not able to concentrate like I should and things begin to unravel and I'm beginning to fall apart, in all of these things, I first of all stop and think about the problem of sin. I ask myself, did I do anything to bring about these problems? And if so, I need to admit that and ask for God's forgiveness. And even if there is no correlation between what's happening to me and what I might have done, I still step back and say, I know that I'm a sinner and I live in a world full of sinners. And I can't expect God to constantly bless me all of the time. I have sinned in many ways, just as everyone else has. And yet I still know that God loves me. He has stressed that. He has said that. He sent His Son Jesus to be with us fellow sinners, to take our sins upon Himself, to die on the cross in order to destroy them. And I know that through Christ I have peace with Him, and that ultimately, He will save me. The second thing, after looking to my sin, I look to that cross. I look to the cross of my forgiveness, and I look to the ultimate promise that God has given to me of heaven. And I realize now that I can take another look at my problems. I can look at them differently now. I don't have to worry about them so much. I don't have to let them paralyze me, because I know ultimately God has good promises to fulfill for me in my life. And instead of worry, God gives me faith and hope. And those things activate me. Those things energize me. And even though I am weak, I can in Christ still be strong. And after praying for forgiveness, I can continue to pray, Lord, help me. What am I supposed to do in this situation? And His answer to me is always the same. It has been the same answer my entire life. Michael, continue steadfast in my word. Follow Jesus. And so I open my Bible and I come to church and I seek God's word and His wisdom. Sometimes I go to others who can point me to those parts of God's Word that I especially need to hear at that time in my life. I surround myself with God's Word because God's Word calms my heart, guides my mind, and strengthens me to do whatever I can do in a bad situation. And so looking back to the problem of sin, looking to the cross and forgiveness and the words of wisdom, thirdly, I recognize what God's word has always said. Even though I wait for the ultimate hope of heaven, I also have this promise from God that all cross-bearing in this life, in some way or another, somehow will bring about some kind of good. If not for me directly, then it will bring about some good for the others around me, if I approach it in faith and if I look to God to help me. Peter did not want to see Jesus go to the cross, and that's because Peter could only see things from a worldly point of view. But Jesus could see it from God's point of view. And of course, Jesus knew that that suffering was going to bring about a much, much greater good, of course, for everyone. Paul said it this way to the Romans, tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. And so this is the way I battle against worry. I repent, I follow Jesus, and I let the tribulation, which I am so tempted to allow me to worry, instead change me and fill me with hope rather than fear. Another way to say it might be this. I fold my hands in prayer. I open my Bible to read and meditate, and I roll up my sleeves to work and to do what I can to stand against this problem, whatever it is that may be trying to crush me. Let me conclude with this beautiful little poem. It's the first time I read it as I was getting ready for this sermon. The author is unknown. Maybe you've heard it before, but the poem is titled, Out of the Darkness. Out of the dark and forbidden soil, the pure white lilies grow. Out of the black and murky clouds descends the stainless snow. Out of the crawling, earthbound worm, a butterfly is born. Out of the somber, shrouded night, behold, a golden morn. Out of the pain and the stress of life, the peace of God pours down. Out of the nails, the spear, the cross, redemption, and a crown. Amen.